What a wonderful blessing to be able to gather together on the Lord's Day, to worship Him in song and to worship Him as we hear His Word and we make good decisions based on His Word. Mark chapter 6, verse 50 together, verse 50. The Bible says, "For they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed and beyond themselves, beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not, verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves." I want us to jump back, if we could, to verse number 45 in this passage of Scripture. In verse 45, the Bible says that Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship, and they were to go across to Bethsaida. And so the Bible says in verse number 48, "And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them." Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at His Word this morning. Lord, thank You so much for all that You've done for us. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to read Your Word and to study it together. And I pray that You would use it to help us and direct us. I pray that You would bind Satan and his demons, that Your Word would fall on good ground, that it would grow up in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we have many things that are happening, many pressing events. And for many of us, we're troubled. And I pray, Lord, that our spirits would be calm, that our focus would be on Your Word. And I pray You would give us something this morning to help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading here a familiar story where Jesus constrains His disciples to get into a ship and to travel to the other side, to Bethsaida. And it was a long day of ministry for the Lord Jesus and His disciples, and they were tired. And so the Bible says that He sent the people away, and Jesus doesn't go with the disciples on a ship. He actually goes to a mountain, and He goes to the mountain, and he begins to pray. And the Bible says that in the evening, when the sun began to set, that a storm arose, and Jesus is in this mountain. He's looking at His disciples who are, they're on the sea, and they're toiling. The Bible uses that expression. It speaks of hard labor. They're toiling. They're working hard to get to the other side, but the Bible says that the wind is contrary to them. They're fighting against the wind, and they can't get ahead. And so the Bible says they don't get very far because of the conditions that they're in. And maybe that's where you are today. I don't know your heart, and I don't know everything that's happening in your life, but maybe you feel like you just can't move forward. Maybe you feel like that there are too many things that are fighting against you today. Well, the disciples were trying to get to the other side, and there were things fighting against them. And so the Bible says about the fourth watch of the night, this is between 3 and 6 a.m. So from the evening, the storm arises, and the Lord is watching them for this many hours. And they're toiling, and they're trying to get to the other side. And so between 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the Lord Jesus leaves this mountain where He's praying. By the way, I mean, He's probably praying for His disciples. He leaves this mountain where they were praying, and He approaches His disciples walking on the water. And we notice an expression here that's found in our Bibles that it isn't found in any other Gospels. Mark is the only one who records this expression. And it's a real simple expression, but it really helps us to build a foundation for my message this morning. The Bible says that He would have passed by them. Think about that expression. Jesus is up on the mountain. He's watching his disciples for several hours, toiling in a storm. The wind is contrary to them. They're not getting anywhere. He finally leaves the mountain. He's walking toward them on the water, and he was just going to walk right past them. And the Bible says that the disciples, they acknowledge him. They think that he's a spirit, and Jesus comes on their ship, and he talks with them, and he reassures them, and he comforts them. And there's no doubt about it when we read this passage of Scripture that when Jesus gets into the ship, everything changes, right? The storm ceases, and John in John's Gospel talks about the fact that the disciples reach their destination. It is Christ who makes the difference in the disciples' lives. Now, I want us to turn, if we could, to the book of Ruth. If we could turn there in the second chapter, in the book of Ruth. In the story of Ruth, at this particular time, Ruth asked Naomi for permission to go and to glean the farmer's fields so that they would have food to eat. And this was according to the law of God that he had established in the book of Leviticus in the 19th chapter for the Jews, for the people of God, that God had given the farmers a harvest and God had made a law to care for the poor people of the land, that they could go after the farmers had taken the first fruits, that they could come and they could glean the fields and they could take what was left over. And so Ruth steps out by faith as we read the story of Ruth, and she trusts God's word and she sought for someone who would show her some grace. And the Bible teaches us that God led Ruth to Boaz. And we read this wonderful passage in Ruth chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says this, "And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." Notice that expression. "Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's a wonderful truth. Now I want us to turn, if we could, to the book of Proverbs and the third chapter together. Proverbs chapter 3. And notice what the Scripture says here in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I want us to notice that expression that we find in our Bible here. The Bible says in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." The word acknowledge there means to have a special kind of recognition. It means to pay attention to. The Bible says that we are to acknowledge God, and when we do so, when we pay attention to God, that God would direct our paths. And like the blessing of Boaz who acknowledged Ruth, and like the disciples who received great favor when they acknowledged the Savior, we too will find grace and be blessed when we acknowledge God in our lives. But what does it all mean? Let's break it down if we could. Number one, if you're taking notes with me, Would you write down this? Number one, a reliance. A reliance. The Bible says this, trust in the Lord. But how much are we to trust in the Lord? Well, the Bible says, with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Uncle Oscar was appreciative about the first airplane ride that he received. His friends were eager to hear how it went, and they asked if he enjoyed the flight. And, well, commented Uncle Oscar, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I'll tell you this, I never did put all my weight down. And the Bible teaches us that as we trust God, we can put all of our weight down. The Bible says, trust God with all of your heart. The key word there is to trust Him. To trust Him. We notice in our passage of Scripture this morning our commitment. Why does one trust God with all of their heart? Well, the Bible teaches us through various passages of Scripture that God is worthy of our trust. God is utterly trustworthy. His character makes it impossible for Him to lie. His love saturates all that He does. He is never unkind. God doesn't make mistakes. One preacher put it this way, God will never let us go. God will never let us down, and He will never let us get off. God is trustworthy. And a double mind and a divided heart isn't going to get you where you need to be. A double mind and a divided heart is not going to benefit your walk with God. Now, we are in a relationship with God, and God loves us dearly. And God shows us grace and mercy every single day of our life, even when our faith is flawed. But the message of the Bible here, the call of God, is to trust Him fully. Trust God with all of your heart. That's our commitment. But notice the contrast. You see, what is the opposite of trusting God? Well, verse 5, it teaches us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And here's the opposite, and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's leaning not in our own ways, our own wisdom. It's defining really a full faith in God. What does it mean to trust God with all of my heart? It's to not lean in my own understanding. You see, we are not as Christians to trust our own rationale. We're not to trust our own wisdom. We're not to trust our own pathway. This is not leaning on God with our whole heart. Oftentimes we lean on our emotion. We lean on our own ideas, our own wisdom, our own ideology. And this isn't trusting God with all of our heart. You know, a great example of this is Moses. I mean, Moses didn't want the job to begin with, but he finally said yes to God, and God uses Moses to lead over 1 million Jews from Egypt. And by the way, if you join us on Wednesday for our Wednesday in the Word, you'll know how those Jews got to Egypt. And so the Egyptian army is marching toward them when God finally tells them they can leave, and the Egyptian army is marching toward them, and God had led His people to that exact point. God brought them the way of the Red Sea, the Scripture teaches us, and so God brought them there. This was God's doing. This was God's work, and though the people were leaning on their own limited understanding, though they were wondering why God would bring them to that point to die, though they were trying to hide or figure out what they could possibly do, Moses got to the place in his life where he realized God was the only solution in this. And he trusted God with all of his heart. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. He trusted God with all of his heart, and God did something amazing that day. God divided the sea. You know, I'm just here to tell you that when we don't have the answers, God has the answers. And when we don't know the way, God knows the way. And we cannot be sluggish or timid in trusting God. We can trust him with all of our heart. I'm saying that you can put all of your weight down. You can know that God never makes mistakes. You can understand that God has never failed anyone, and you won't be the first. There's a reliance here. Trust God with all of your heart. But not only is there a reliance, I want us to notice, secondly, there's a recognition. There's a recognition. We are to trust God with our whole heart. We are to trust God's judgment over our own. And the Bible says that we are to bring God into the equation. We are to bring God into the decisions of our life. You know, Jesus was going to walk past the disciples until they acknowledged him. You know, as we study the Bible, we understand that the Christ doesn't just barge into our lives. He doesn't just demand that we obey him or demand that we follow him, but invites us into our decisions. And I wonder if Jesus was up in that mountain and he was praying for those several hours as he was watching his disciples toiling and struggling. And I'm not trying to read into the Bible or add to the Bible, but I'm wondering in my mind if he was waiting for them to call for him for help. And they leaned in their own strength. They leaned on their own understanding. They leaned in their own way. The Bible teaches us that the Lord comes to them walking on the water. It seems often we operate this way in our life. We wait until the very last possible moment before we throw God into our plans. The Titanic's bow was quickly sinking under the waves. Horns blared, wireless messages were sent, and rockets shot into the air. The ship was in desperate trouble. As Captain E.J. Smith hurried along the main deck, a crowd of passengers yelled at him, "Captain, Captain!" And the captain said, "Yes." He says, "How does it look?" the crowd said. "How does it look?" And the captain bowed his head, and he said, "It looks like we're going to need to pray." "Oh no," proclaimed another man. "Has it come to that?" Friend, I'm here to tell you it always comes to that. It always comes to that. All of our problems are prayer problems. Prayer, coming to church, reading our Bible, seeking God, these are all ways we acknowledge God in our life. These are all ways we give God attention, the attention, by the way, that he deserves. These are all ways that we say, "God, I need your help. God, I come here to worship you because you're worthy of worship. Lord, I seek your face because I need your help and grace in my life." And the Bible says that there's a recognition here that we are to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. I think for a moment of the events of 9/11, which today is a distant past. And after such a terrifying event in 2001, the reality is that churches were filled with people. I mean, churches were setting up chairs on the side of pews so they would have room for everyone. Everyone rushed to hear from God. Everyone acknowledged God in their life. But this seeking for God, this acknowledging God, became a distant reality to the busyness of life.
and sport practices and recitals and work around the house and TV shows soon replace people acknowledging God in their life. In fact, one newspaper penned these words. A secular newspaper said, after 9/11, a short-lived rush to church. A short-lived rush to church. And our attention to God should not only be when it's convenient to us. Our acknowledging God should not only be when things work out, but it should be a time where we value and we look to God in the good times and the bad times in our life, where we say, God, we need your help in our home. God, we need your help in our life. We need, God, your help in our church. An acknowledging of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 17, that the residue of men might seek after God and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Zechariah said, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of the house of Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. We are to pay attention to God. We're to acknowledge him in our lives. We see as we acknowledge God, it's reaction. So how do we act when we recognize God? You know, we're living in such a convenient Christianity world. I mean... It has to make God sick. It really does. I mean, we read this passage of Scripture and we notice words like seek and acknowledge and knock and ask. James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God says, hey, you take the first step, and I'll follow with a step. But you're going to have to act. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to acknowledge me in your life. Joseph Scriven, a missionary to Canada, after some heartbreak in his life, penned these words. He said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then he makes this statement, which is convicting to me. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry. All because we don't acknowledge God in our lives. Everything to God in prayer. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it this morning. I'm just saying acknowledging God is going to take effort. And if you think you're going to coast through the Christian life and everything's going to be okay, that you don't have to lift a hand, that you don't have to spend time to pray, that it might not always be convenient to come to church, and it might not always be convenient to pray, and it might be hard to find time to read your Bible, but I'm just telling you, it's acknowledging God in your life, and you'll be blessed because you did it. You'll be better because you did it. And if you're too busy to seek God, and if you're too busy to acknowledge God, then friend, I'm here to tell you, you're just too busy. You're just plain too busy. And we notice its reaction in seeking God, but also we notice its reach. You see, acknowledge God in all thy ways. You see it there? Acknowledge God in everything in your life. And in all of your decisions, ask God for wisdom. Never make a turn in your life without asking God for direction and wisdom in that way. In fact, the Bible, if you're a student of the Bible and you've read through the book of Proverbs in the third chapter, he actually talks about ways in
which this benefits our life. He says, for length of days in verse 2, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. He talks about trusting God in our finances in verse number 9, honoring the Lord in verse 11. He speaks of the chastening of God and the conviction of God in our life, that we're to acknowledge God in these things. And so we see in this passage of Scripture its reach, and we notice its reaction, and we notice its result, that God will direct our ways. I acknowledge God. I put God into the equation. I put God into the decision. And God gives us a promise here that He will order our ways. He'll direct our path. That's what the Bible says. As we acknowledge God, God gives us wisdom and direction in the right ways of our life, and leads us in the right pathway. God leads us in the best pathway for our life. The result is God shows up. The result is that God boards our ship. The result is God blesses us. But we see thirdly the rebuke. Look what the Bible says in verse 7. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. A couple of thoughts. First of all, there is a plea. The Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't go your own way and ignore God's way in your life. I think an example of this is the decision of Jeroboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. Jeroboam made a radical decision. He decided that he was going to start his own religion. He told the people that the annual sacrifices were no longer convenient. He said the sacrifices that God required of them was no longer easy. It was a burden to them. And so in 2 Kings chapter 12, the Bible says that Jeroboam made two golden calves. And he placed one of those golden calves in Bethel. He placed another in Dan. And then in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, he pronounces, and this must have been a slap to God's face, he pronounces that these be the golden calves, these be the gods that led you from Egypt. And what did God do? He sent a prophet. He told Jeroboam that this is not the right way. But unfortunately, Jeroboam ignored the man of God. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 34, and this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. How sad it is when we think we know more than God. C.H. Spurgeon said, the worst sort of clever men are those who know better than the Bible. The worst sort of clever men are those that know better than the Bible. And how sad it is when we follow our own wisdom and not the wisdom of God. How sad it is when we follow our own way and ignore God's pathway and God's message for our life. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Fear God. The Bible says give God reverence and depart from evil. Don't go your own way. Acknowledge God and follow His way for your life. We notice not only in the Scripture do we see a plea, but we also see a pledge. The Bible says if you trust God, if you learn to fear God, if you depart from evil, it is health for your whole life. And the navel here speaks of our past life and our present life and our promised life. It impacts our complete life. It brings joy into our life and into God's way into our life. And so there's great delight in following God's pathway, a life lived for God. Makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. And friend, when the disciples acknowledged Jesus in that storm and he boarded their ship, they saw the power of God on display. But the Bible says he would have just walked on by, except they cried out to him. And maybe today you need to acknowledge God in your life. Maybe you're going through the motions in the Christian life and you're in a storm today and you don't know how you're going to get to the other end. I say to you, trust God with your whole heart and acknowledge him. And the promise of the Bible is that he will board your ship and he'll help you and he'll direct you. It begins with a reliance. Trust in the Lord. Our commitment is to trust God with all of our heart. The contrast is to not lean on our limited wisdom. We see in this passage of Scripture that we are to recognize, there's a recognition. We must acknowledge God. We must seek the Lord. We must knock on that door. We must ask. We must seek his face. And yeah, it takes effort. And it's going to take your time. But in all of your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your path. Because the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. And he knows the way that we take. Do you want God to direct your way? Do you want God to be the pilot of your life? Or are you just happy in fighting the storm? Are you happy doing it all yourself? You're not going to get anywhere. There's too many things contrary to your life. We must fear God, depart from evil. This is the blessed life. And this is where joy is found in the Christian life. And so I invite you to invite Jesus on your ship today. Don't let him walk by. Say, Lord, I need you. Come on. I need your help today. Oh, we need his help today. We need his help today. God, help us to make good decisions. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful